The following program is a classic from the Compassion Radio Archive featuring the late Reverend Dr. Norm Nelson. This broadcast was first presented on the radio in October of 2010.
What's it like inside North Korea, the hermit kingdom so often disparaged with the label the Axis of Evil? Compassion Radio was there. We'll tell you what we saw on today's Compassion Radio.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Good news declared, God's love delivered. Welcome to the Daily Ministry Broadcast Journal that tells of the new thing God is doing in some of the world's toughest places. This is Compassion Radio. Well, as far as the world's toughest places go, for most, North Korea is on the short list. After all, it's a country that's considered to be a charter member of the so-called Axis of Evil. Norman Cher Nelson had the privilege of traveling to this faraway land not too long ago, and as you can guesstimate, they don't see it that way at all. Today, we're going to follow up on the discussion we started yesterday as we continue with the broadcast we're calling Inside North Korea, Part 2. Here's Norm.
Well, my wife, Cher, joins me again today as we present the second of our two programs about our trip to North Korea. Honey, good to have you with us here today. It was great to be back in North Korea. As difficult as a place as it is, it was good to be there again,
wasn't it?
It
was wonderful to be back. In fact, the more you leave your heart in a place after you leave it the first time, the more you want to go back. And having missed one opportunity to go, I think both our hearts were really, really ready and eager to get back into North Korea. We were hoping so much to renew some acquaintances that we had made before, and the Lord didn't open that door for us, but He brought to us new people that are now burned into our hearts. And it was a wonderful experience.
As we said on yesterday's program, this was our third trip to North Korea. Mm-hmm. The first time we went, we delivered a supply of medical equipment, medicines, and other things that we had the privilege of delivering to hospitals, very needy hospitals there in North Korea, and they are definitely in need when it comes to medicine and medical supplies and all of that. And we took about $3 million worth of medical supplies into North Korea. What was interesting was that as we got acquainted with our new minders, these are the people that the government places with each delegation of visitors that is admitted to North Korea, they became aware of the fact that we had been there before, and secondly, that we had brought a significant contribution to the people of North Korea, suffering people, in helping out with their medical needs. And they remembered the terrible floods that had happened, starvation, a time of starvation in the country. We were there on a previous trip during that time. And they began to ask a lot of questions, and it began to feel a bit like an interrogation. We weren't quite sure what was going on for a while, were we?
No. We tried to answer the questions as thoroughly as we could without giving information that didn't need to be given, but to be very honest and to be very unsuspicious of why we were being asked, and to just answer it matter-of-factly and share our hearts.
Yeah, that's right.
But it was uncomfortable.
It felt like an interrogation. What we did discover, I think as time went on, was that they found it very difficult at first to believe that Americans would come bearing gifts like that for the Korean people. I felt that we were being tested after a while, that we were being tested with regard to the veracity of the gift that we had made to North Korea on that earlier trip. But also, I think that they were a bit confused that Americans would do such a thing. As it turned out, it opened a door for us to be able to share some really significant things. And we're not going to talk in detail about a lot of our conversations, but they were really very significant conversations that we had. Give us a great insight into North Korea, into life there. And I think perhaps, and we hope and pray, illuminated perhaps people that we were able to speak with some insight into our culture and what makes us tick. Now, the thing that was really significant about this trip was its timing. It happened at precisely the moment that a terrible flood hit North Korea. It seems like this is a country that has repeatedly suffered the onslaught of terrible natural catastrophes.
Well, and part of that is in the deforestation that's happened in the country. They're not a
that's
good
right.
use of the land.
That's right.
And so the floods are much worse than they might have been years ago.
That's right. But while we were there, and we had been talking, of course, about this previous trip, it began to dawn on me that their interest in our, shall we say, generous contribution in previous trips, that if we did not respond to the current situation of crisis, and it really was a crisis, this is the most devastating flood in over 40 years in North Korea.
There were over 600 killed, 100 and some thousand families that were affected by it, and 33,000 families completely homeless.
Yeah.
Now, we think about New Orleans, and that was a horrible disaster, but this, the scope of this was just unbelievable.
That's right. And I felt very strongly that we could not keep silent about that, and that we could not withhold some expression of generosity on our part toward that flood situation. I think it became rather clear to them that obviously we were people of faith, that we were Christian people as we were traveling. And we are Compassion Radio. The door of opportunity has opened for us in many parts of the world because of the fact that we approach people, even if they are defined politically as our enemies, in a spirit of love and with gestures and actions of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And it has done incredible things in opening up opportunities for conversation and service and relationship and so forth. And so we began to realize that we needed to do something about this this flood. Now, we're just a small delegation of people traveling together who had brought, you know, really only enough money to be able to deal with our responsibilities here in North Korea. But we made a decision, and that was to take up a collection among ourselves and then to offer that collection of funds to our North Korean hosts as an expression of our desire to help the North Korean people, and especially, obviously, those who were suffering as a result of the flood. The International Red Cross is present inside North Korea, and one of our minders made that known to me and said the best thing for you to do is to make a donation to the International Red Cross and to designate it for this country, and it will go to help the people of North Korea.
And it will go immediately to help. It wasn't that a container had to be sent over on a ship, or planes didn't have to fly from the United States to bring something. The International Red Cross there had immediate access to help for the people.
So. Our hearts were really touched by the need. We saw it on Western television, as we were pointing out earlier, through BBC World and a few other sources. So we knew that the situation was really terrible. So we took up a collection, which turned out to be a rather generous collection.
We had some incredibly generous people.
To the degree that our minders were, quite frankly, surprised and shocked by the manner of giving that took place within our delegation. I also made the decision to say to our minder, look, we trust you. We trust that you, and there was reason to trust them. I think that they had acquitted themselves rather well in relation to our delegation. We've said this before, that in many situations, and this would hold true for North Korea, but in many situations in countries that are totalitarian, that are in a political sense defined as the enemies of our country or enemies of the free world or however you define it, that one of the things very often that you must do when you make a contribution is to trust God and let go.
Yes.
You cannot, it is impossible in certain situations to shepherd a gift mm-hmm. every inch of the way from the act of giving mm-hmm. to the implementation of the gift to those who are suffering, for whom it is intended.
If we can't trust God with that aspect of it, then why do we give to Him in the first place?
And this was a situation in which we had to trust God, but also, mm-hmm. I felt very good about this. We said to our minder, we trust you. You have become friends of ours. We trust you. We believe you're a good man and that you will give this donation to the International Red Cross for the benefit of your people. And we had reason to believe at that point that we'd established a good relationship with them. And then he promised mm-hmm. that we would receive from the International Red Cross an accounting mm-hmm. of the gift that was made and an indication as to how that gift was applied, namely that it was actually applied to the flood situation as we had designated. And honey, I have seldom felt better about mm-hmm. anything that we've done in a difficult country where we've been traveling mm-hmm. with an opportunity that God had given to us to give an expression of Christian love and compassion right there on, if you want to put it this way, enemy territory.
Yeah, I don't want to put it that way, but I know what you mean.
Great insights once again on today's Compassion Radio. Just wanted to sneak in really quick to say thank you. Yes, thank you for your prayer support and urgently needed financial support of this unique Boots on the Ground radio ministry. It would mean so much to hear from you today. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or give online safe and secure at CompassionRadio.com. Thank you for your support of Compassion Radio. Now, back to the program.
It is very important. One of the prime foci or focuses of Compassion Radio is to alert our listeners to instances of persecution of brothers and sisters mm-hmm. in Christ. And what is happening in North Korea today is really terrible. I want to read something to you. I want to relay a story to you that is indicative of a true prison camp experience mm-hmm. inside of North Korea. It is a story of a woman who survived one of those prison camps, and it took place inside a North Korean smelting factory. Mm. Here's the story. She writes, "I saw 8 Christian prisoners carrying a big metal kettle holding molten iron. An officer called to them. 'Tomorrow is a cleaning of the mine day,' he said. 'You will go out and tell everyone that there is no God. Otherwise, you will be killed. Do you understand?' Not one of the prisoners responded." Now remember, these are Christian prisoners. "Not one of the prisoners responded to the officer. He became furious and he began to curse at these Christian men. 'All 8 of you, come here and put your face down to the ground.' They came just as he had ordered. They sat on their knees and then bent their heads down. The officer called over the other male prisoners, 'Bring boiling liquid iron from the furnace and pour it on them.' The frightened prisoners ran to get a kettle of molten iron. They then poured the boiling iron on top of the people of God kneeling so quietly in that place. Suddenly the smell of burning flesh assailed my nostrils. I looked at their shrunken bodies and wondered in my heart, what do they believe? What could be more important to them than their lives? In the years I was in prison, I saw many more believers die. Yet they never, never denied the God who is in heaven. Their unbelievable faith brought a big question into my heart. The question, what am I missing?" Well, this woman survived the North Korean prison camp and today is a believer in Jesus Christ. and became that as a result of the witness of those incredible Christian prisoners inside of North Korea. This is the situation that exists in North Korea today. And it is the reason why we so strongly emphasize on our program the need to pray for,
yes,
and to think about, and to, in every sense that is possible for us, separated by miles and by radical differences in our conditions of life, to carry the burden of those who suffer persecution and who suffer, frankly, martyrdom at the hands of those who are persecuting them for their faith in Jesus Christ.
They're willing to trust God with their suffering. What they ask us to pray for is faithfulness in their suffering.
That's right.
They believe that God will use their witness, their testimony, and they don't ask us to pray that suffering will end. They want God to determine that. But what they beg for us to pray for is pray that we can be faithful in any circumstances,
yes,
and that our lives will be used for the glory of God.
I want to move from that point to make another point, honey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this, and this will be a surprise to many who have not been listening to Compassion Radio for a long time. In the days before there was a North and South Korea, in the days when there was only one Korea,
mm-hmm,
before the Korean War and all of that, the North was the heart of the Christian movement on the Korean Peninsula.
Right.
In other words, the strongest witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the strongest churches on the Korean Peninsula were in North Korea. And today, as we did, walking through that main square, Kim Il-sung Square,
mm-hmm,
in Pyongyang, North Korea, where the military parades take place that whenever television here in the United States shows,
mm-hmm,
or has a story about North Korea, they always show goose-stepping
soldiers,
North Korean, mm-hmm, soldiers marching in this square. The truth is that there was a large Presbyterian church that existed right where that square exists today. It was the largest Presbyterian church on the Korean Peninsula, and the faith of the North Koreans was so strong in those days that the city of Pyongyang, now the capital of communist North Korea, was known as the Jerusalem of Asia. What is my point? Don't think it can't, mm-hmm, happen here. We take our faith for granted sometimes, mm-hmm, here in the United States of America. Sometimes we are casual, sometimes we are careless with regard to our need to be faithful to the witness of the gospel. Sometimes we journey down rabbit trails, sometimes they're political, sometimes they're religious, and we forget about the centrality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is possible for a nation that is firm in its commitment to the gospel and where there is freedom of religion to lose that, to lose those gifts. And that is precisely, mm-hmm, what happened on the Korean Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
And today, the Jerusalem of Asia is the capital of a communist nation. Keep that in mind, my friend, whenever you are tempted to take the gospel, your faith, for granted. Also, remember those who suffer behind,
yes,
that demilitarized zone to which we traveled again on this trip. And don't forget to pray for and to bear in some way, as you can, as you will, by sharing the realities of the situation in North Korea, perhaps with members of your church,
mm-hmm,
and having the number of people praying about and caring about North Korean Christians, having that number in your church grow and multiply. Remember the story about North Korea and what happened there in the Jerusalem of Asia. Honey, you may remember as we walked through Kim Il-sung Square and with the memory of that great Presbyterian church that,
mm-hmm,
stood at one corner of that square, I quoted a line from the book of Isaiah, I believe it's chapter,
mm-hmm,
9, and it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." And as we walked through that square, we shared that verse together, holding hands and we offered up a prayer. And then we offered up our conviction to each other that we believe that that was going to happen in North Korea again, that the people who walk in darkness will see that great light that once shined through the witness of the gospel in that place. And it will happen because God is in control and because he has faithful people in the United States and in other areas of the world, all over this world, who are praying for North Korea, who love it, who care about it, and who most of all, above everything else, trust in the power of the gospel, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to change hearts and to change governments. I believe that that day is coming. And I ask you, our listening friend, to join us in prayer that someday, and that someday soon, that will happen. Well, Sharon, it's good to have you with me today. I want to talk just briefly about our listeners. They're pretty extraordinary.
I think so.
And the people who have caught the vision for supporting projects that we get involved in, these are frontline projects. These aren't the normal, typical projects that many Christian radio ministries are involved in. These are the kinds of projects that require visionary thinking. Our listeners, who become donors and participants with us, have the capacity to see beyond the immediate future and what is into what should be and what will be. And that's really extraordinary, don't you think?
It really is. Praise the Lord, Norm. We did have our listeners who stepped out.
My friend, be a frontliner. Step out, be a visionary, and change the world.
Well, that wraps up part two of a classic broadcast featuring Norm and Cher that takes us back to October of 2010. We felt it would be of interest to bring that one back, considering how much we've been hearing about North Korea in the news. Let us all continue to pray on that whole situation and lift up the people of that nation. Would you join us in that prayer? Bram's back in studio with us here. Tell our friends why we're keeping on with the project that we started in July.
There's a reason why we decided to carry this one over, and it's two parts. One is we managed to fund the first year of pastor work there in Ukraine because of the generous giving of our partners. So we're thrilled about that. But here's the thing. The conflict's not going anywhere, and it is exactly the kind of project that we keep stumbling into this month. I mean, All About Uganda was all about conflicts. There are probably going to be some projects we do in the future with people that are actively doing things on the ground there, but they're not ready yet. But Ukraine is going to continue to be a sore spot in Europe. It's going to continue to be an opportunity that's ripe for action and for results. It's still a dangerous hot spot. And I can't think of anybody who deserves to get a little more support than Oleg and the folks at New Life Community there in Kyiv. The whole Hope community there in the war zone of eastern Ukraine is essential, and we could send more pastors there if we were able to fund them. Maybe building a new orphanage, because they've got two or three buildings they actually use as orphanages there now. I want to see Oleg and his team succeed like they've never succeeded before. And so I want to focus again on what's happening in eastern Ukraine, kind of like we've done other parts of the year with our Bibles for China campaign or other things where we've seen a real response that's been very positive and there are more opportunities to get more Bibles in places. Of course, we'll keep doing that. Ukraine is like that right now. There are so many opportunities to really reach new people, Russian people, Ukrainian people for Jesus, and start new churches throughout that region of the world that is one of the most secularized places on the planet. Does that make sense, Jimmy?
It does. It does. And Ram, I understand that we're going to continue with our very special premium offer DVD for this month, a film that's just wildly popular. It's amazing. And I know there's a really good reason why you chose it, too.
War Room is a great film. It goes right to the core of what it means to be a powerful and effective Christian. And it's a great tale, but it's also a very true story. Whenever God's people discover the power of prayer, things start happening. Why? Because God starts laying on the hearts of the people who are willing to pray the things that he wants prayed. And think about this. If God wants something done, he tends to inspire his people to pray for those things so that they can work in tandem together, in cooperation. And this story, War Room, is all about what it means to go to spiritual warfare and suit up for battle.
For your special gift of $50 or more, we'd love to send you, on DVD or Blu-ray, the powerful and highly successful theatrical release of War Room. Order yours today. And thank you so much for standing with us. Reach out to us by phone at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail, we're at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.